The issue we want to talk about this week, it starts with a question. And the question is, has your church been infiltrated by this movement? It is a godless ideological movement that's sweeping across the churches in North America. And the question we all have to answer is, has this infected the church I attend? Has this infected the pastor of my church or the leadership of my church? Is my church practicing this? Before I introduce what this is, Paul warned Timothy, just to remind ourselves, that apostates and false teachers would introduce doctrines of demons into the church in the last days. And you can read this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And we're seeing the, this movement of false teachers and apostates introducing all kinds of false ideologies, false teachings into the church at an all-time high. Well, in particular, this one that we're talking about, and the question we have is this happening to your church? What are we talking about? What ideological, godless movement is moving throughout the churches in North America? Well, the big issue is, and the big ticket item, is the social gospel, or the social justice movement. See, the concept known as social justice was invented by a Jesuit Catholic priest back in the 1840s. Luigi Taparelli is his name. Well, anyway, it stemmed from him, but now it's made its way into politics now today and now into the church. And it's a worldview which deems itself the arbitrator of right and wrong and believes that inequality should be equalized by their version of justice. Not God's version of justice, but their version of right and wrong and justice. And their version of justice is to take from those who have and give to those who have not through the essence of stealing. Okay? And there can be some volunteerism that they'll allow, but mainly it's through force through governments. This is how they get their goals accomplished. And obviously this matches very well with Marxism. Marxism is at the root of social justice and is at the root of the social gospel. Well, Marxist principles, as you may be aware of, like redistribution of wealth, fits very well into their paradigm, because you have in both paradigms that there are oppressors and then there are the oppressed. There's the victims. And that's a hallmark of Marxism, socialism, social justice, and whatnot. So understand that social justice is based on the concept of human positive rights and the equality that they desire, again, not an equality that comes from God, but involves equality of outcomes economically for those they deem victim groups. And so they will give special rights to victim groups, take away rights of those who they think are oppressors, and so that's where the fight starts happening. And it's the guilt and the shame they use, man-made guilt, man-made shame, they put on what they deem oppressor groups like Christians, white privilege, whatever they want to call it, the West, capitalism, that's the oppressors. And then they have the victims. And these victim groups then get special rights, they get special privileges because they're deemed a protected group and a victim group, like the LGBT, transgender, Islam, whatever. They divide groups into racism, and you have identity politics and whatnot that stems from that. And they want these people to have not just freedom of economic opportunity, but freedom to have economic outcome the same as everyone else, which our system of government does not provide. Our government provides freedom of economic opportunity, but it does not guarantee that the outcome will be equal. You just can't have equal outcome. People have different skill sets. People have different mentalities. People have different sin issues that get them into economic problems. But anyway, they try to equalize everyone out through progressive taxation, income redistribution, or even property redistribution. And that's from an economic level. It's economic egalitarianism. That's the driving force behind social justice, Marxism, communism. Okay, so that's kind of in a nutshell what the social justice movement is about. But social justice needs a moral backer. And here's where the church comes involved in this. Because of the essence of social justice is stealing. And it doesn't come from a godless, or it doesn't come from a God-ordained system. It comes from a godless system. They need, in order to have people involved in this, they need to have the moral backing behind it. And the way they're doing that is to get the churches involved in this social justice movement, social gospel movement, to make things equal in their minds. And again, obviously this system is not biblical, but they have to pretend it's biblical. They have to pretend it's moral, that there's a moral backing behind this. And then what they'll do is twist scripture to make it fit to it. They'll take passages like out of Matthew 25, I was in prison and you visited me, I was hungry and you fed me, which refers to the brethren of the Messiah, which is the Jews, and refers to the sheep and goat judgment after the second coming. But they'll take scriptures like that out of context and use them to say, that's why we need to be about social justice movements. And so part of their game is to co-opt the churches, twist scripture, and hopefully the people in the pews don't understand what the passages mean, and then they can back up their social justice or social gospel through the churches, through Christians who think they're doing something for God, but they're actually doing something for a system that's based on atheism. And then if you don't get on board on this, if you're not in for feeding peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to the homeless, if you're not in on eradicating illiteracy, if you're not in on saving the planet, creation care, if you're not in on racial reparations, if you're not in on MLK 50, if you're not in on supporting the LGBT movement, supporting transgenderism, supporting sexual identities and whatnot, if you're not in on that, then they'll shame you and guilt you and make you think that you're the problem, you're the hate monger, you're the one that doesn't get this. And so shaming and guilt, humanistically, is what they use to make people, Christians especially, feel bad. And they'll put the tag on there, well, you're being divisive. This is not what Jesus would do. Jesus would reach out to all these victim groups. And what you start realizing is they're co-opting the real gospel, the gospel that saves you from hell, the gospel that saves you from your sin and forgiveness. That's the real gospel. But their gospel is equality of outcomes. And that, again, doesn't fit into the Great Commission. That does not fit into the biblical mandate of what the church is supposed to be about. The church has not been given the mandate to eradicate illiteracy. The church has not been given the mandate to eradicate racial problems. Now, it's an offshoot of people getting saved. There's neither slave nor free, male nor female, Jew or Greek. But that's a secondary issue of people getting saved and being put into the church and everyone being equal at the foot of the cross in that sense. But that doesn't mean that you and I, as Christians, are to go change the government, change what's happening. That's not our call. Our call is to get people saved and disciple them. So we have to not have missional drift, but that's what's happened to a lot of churches. They're having missional drift off the Great Commission, and they're doing things that they were told not to do. And then if they don't do them, they're shamed. And again, the bottom line of what happens here is they create divisions of people, victim groups, and it's called intersectionality. And so all these victim groups, whoever they may be, it could be a national identity, it could be a race, it could be ethnicities, it could be LGBT, whatever, these are the oppressed groups. And guess who the oppressors are? White male Christians, or Christianity in general, or Jews in general, or the West, or Trump, or capitalism, whatever, those are the oppressors. So you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, are in the category of the oppressors. So this is why a lot of pastors are now coming out and apologizing and accepting this man-made guilt and shame and making you feel bad for something you didn't even do. And so you have, you know, victim classes of race, sexual minorities, Muslims, transgender, anything. And again, that's being used to attack Judeo-Christian values in the West. And really what this is Marxism. So, what has happened in the churches is they have been infiltrated, co-opted with this social justice movement. And it has been embraced by many pastors and churches, particularly in Reformed evangelical churches and seminaries. We call them the neo-Calvinists. Well, you might ask, why is it hitting the Reformed area of theology in North America? Well, you have to understand what the game plan is. The game plan is to go through institutions, and it has been going through Reformed institutions, like Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, like Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, like Mark Dever's Nine Marks, or like Together for the Gospel, or the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist, or the Gospel Coalition. Now, these seminaries and organizations have all been infiltrated and are now pushing the social justice, social gospel. Now, here's what you have to understand. Satan is very clever. What Satan does is he goes to the fountainhead of where people are trained at, like the seminaries, and he attacks the seminaries and infiltrates through the seminaries. So the seminaries are what's teaching this. So they teach these young pastors that then graduate and then come out and take churches, and these pastors then take these churches and then mess them up with the social gospel, social justice. Or a lot of other pastors stick their finger in the wind, figure out which way the wind is blowing, because the guys they look up to, who are typically Reformed, like Mark Dever, like Al Mohler, like Danny Aiken, like all these other guys, like Tim Keller, like John Piper, or whoever, they look up to these guys, they follow these guys. And so if they say we're going to do racial reparations, and David Platt says we need to feel guilty for white privilege or whatnot, then they follow these guys. And these guys of the Gospel Coalition or Together for the Gospel, they'll follow these guys at these organizations and then infiltrate that into their own church. And so the average person in the pew doesn't even really know what's going on, but all of a sudden their pastor will come out and stand up there and say, hey, next week we're going to go out and we're going to cure illiteracy by doing this program and that program. Or we're going to go feed the homeless. Or we're going to go dig water wells. Or whatever it is. But what you'll see missing, you'll think, well, what's wrong with all that? That's all good stuff. It might be good stuff, but it will lack the true gospel. They will go dig water wells in Africa or wherever, but then won't give how the person should be saved or how they can be saved. And so it's a lot of do-gooding, philanthropy, with no gospel behind it, or how the person can get saved. So we would say, why don't you dig the water well and then preach the gospel to the people? But they won't do that. They will say, oh, we're just trying to show the love of Jesus. No, the showing the love of Jesus is telling the person how to be saved. But see, this is not what's happening. So this is what's sweeping through our churches, and it hit the seminaries, hit these Christian institutions that a lot of the pastors follow. And unfortunately, here's what people don't understand. The game plan to infiltrate the seminaries and to infiltrate these organizations like the Gospel Coalition is driven by a leftist operative that works for George Soros. And we will explain this in just a bit. But J.D. Hall of Pulpit and Pen broke the story and revealed how this operative that works for George Soros is conning all these people, basically buying these pastors off, buying these Christians leaders off to promote social justice and for the purpose to make evangelical Christians stop voting Republican, particularly for the upcoming 2020 election cycle. So they either want Christians to sit out or vote Democratic. We'll talk to you in just a bit about that. So according to the research by J.D. Hall on Pulpit and Pen, and again, just because I reference an article doesn't mean I support, you know, their version of theology or whatnot, but J.D. Hall did a great research on this, and I think it's worthy to note it. He broke the story on this. He basically said in his article, and you can see this on Pulpit and Pen, that these institutions, these seminaries, these gospel coalitions, Together for the Gospel, are receiving deep, dark money from leftist billionaire financiers. James Rahede is one of them. If you don't recall, James Rahede is Bill Clinton's money man, a Clinton Foundation member, and an ex-con who was convicted of more than 80 misdemeanors and a felony for using corrupt foreign cash to affect America's political system. He is a major financial contributor to Westminster Philadelphia, which is a Reformed Evangelical Seminary, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, that's Danny Aiken Seminary, Reformed Theological Seminary, I think that's Legan Duncan's, I believe, and the Gospel Coalition have all received money from this guy. These billionaires, like George Soros, like the James Rahede, are subversive, secret, and united in their desire to turn America's largest conservative voting bloc, evangelicals, you and I, into leftists, adopting the same philosophies that were known in the past as liberation theology, black liberation, social justice, social gospel, critical race theory, according to J.D. Hall. And he's absolutely right. And so now you have leaders in American evangelicalism, particularly Reformed leaders, who are now so-called woke up to this. And so now they're pushing this. They're pushing illegal immigration, no borders, no walls. And because a large financial donor by the name of George Soros in his Open Societies Foundations gives them money to do this. Although Rahede, the other financier, cannot come back into the United States, his wife sure does, Eileen Rahede. And she spoke at Reformed Theological Seminary. That's Legan Duncan's place. Well, according to what J.D. Hall found out in his investigation, again on Pulpit and Pen, he said there is a massive piece of the money puzzle that's missing. Who is the leftist operative that's being used by George Soros and all these other people to co-opt the Christians in America? He broke the story and he names him. His name is Zach Exley. And you might say, who's Zach Exley? And again, according to J.D. Hall, who did this research, he is a Democratic financier and organizer who is the Soros associate who has game-planned the social justice takeover of American evangelicalism. Exley has successfully attempted to change the political ideology of America's major evangelical institutions, ministries, and seminaries through the propagation of what is known as social justice, which promotes an ideology of the left and is not biblical Christianity. This has been the driving political force behind the takeover of America's reformed evangelical community, and the money ties between a powerful Democratic financier and evangelical leaders who are steering churches into progressive ideology for political purposes. According to this Exley, this leftist operative who is using money to grease the hands of many evangelical leaders, his goals, which he is introducing into evangelicalism, his goals, he writes, is to eliminate poverty, saving the environment, promoting justice, equality along racial and gender and class lines, and for immigrants, and even separation of church and state, he says. So once Exley's plan was formulated of how he was going to infiltrate evangelical churches, he decided then to start popping up with important evangelical leaders and started talking with them, started making connections with them. And then all of a sudden, this leftist secularist was hanging around people, evangelical leaders. And again, this is the same guy who brought us Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He is also a member of the George Soros Open Foundation. He helped Bernie Sanders. He helped John Kerry. This guy is a complete leftist, but yet he kept popping up with evangelical leaders. We wonder why. Because we find out that these evangelical leaders and institutions are receiving money from these leftist organizations as long as they practice social justice. So that makes total sense of why you have the leaders in American evangelicalism promoting social justice. They're getting paid. Now then there's a second class of people who follow these Christian leaders. And whether it's the pastor in a small church or a large church, or it's the kid going through seminary, they're being told by these Christian leaders that they look up to, hey, we want to practice racial reparations. We want to feel guilty for our white privilege or whatever it is. We want to have open borders. We don't want to build a wall. They think, because their leader's saying this, that they need to go with that. They follow their leaders instead of following the Bible. And this is what's happening. And again, it's all stemming from a leftist operative that's giving money to evangelical leaders. One of the other notable things that Exley has been pushing through the evangelical leadership of America and many churches is to have open borders. Again, this is totally funded by the Soros National Immigration Forum. Again, this is Soros money, and they're getting evangelical leaders to buy into not having borders, not having any checks or anything like that of anyone coming into America, which is crazy, which is insane. But what is the purpose behind it? Again, it's to cause another group of people to infiltrate America who primarily votes Democratic. So what we see from the immigration is that 80% of the immigrants that come into America illegally or come from the southern border area, whether it's Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, you know, Central America, wherever, Harvard found that 80% of them vote Democratic. They come from Marxist socialist regimes, and then they come into America and are told that you can have free stuff, and the ones that are giving you the free stuff are the Democrats. Well, then they vote that way. So that's the ideology behind pushing churches to have open borders and to support open borders. It's coming directly from George Soros, who's trying to change America. So if you're an evangelical leader, they have seminaries or an organization, you will get George Soros funding money if you promote open borders. If you're soft on homosexuality or lesbianism, if you're soft on transgenderism or whatever, If you're soft on those issues and you don't speak on them, you will get the money. The minute you come out against any leftist ideology, you will not get the money. So you might ask yourself, is this about money? Yeah, it's about money. That's where it comes down to. Christian leaders are selling out for money. That's what's happening. This has been a part of history. Even in Nazi Germany, the pastors sold out, many of them, for money. Not all of them. There was a remnant that didn't. But that's what we're having. The leadership in America, the Christian leadership in America, is selling out to this. And this is what J.D. Hall was trying to expose and has done a very good job at doing that. As J.D. Hall remarks, the question isn't if money is being filtered to evangelical institutions from people like George Soros through Zach Exley. The only question is how much money. Because these are non-profit religious organizations. They are not bound to the same reporting standards of other organizations, making them the perfect place to launder dark money from people like Soros and Raidi and the Kern Foundation. It's a perfect laundering scheme. So the facts remain. A major Democratic operative who is responsible for Bernie Sanders' 2016 election and also responsible for the 2018 election of AOC has laid out a game plan to move evangelicals to the political left by focusing on social justice, social gospel. Folks, we need to wake up to this. This is the battle that we're in. And some people, their pastors don't even know. They're just following along like lemmings and sending the church in this direction. And in this next election that's coming up, they want evangelicals to either vote Democratic or sit it out. That's what they want. So folks, this is dangerous. This is one of the greatest threats to the true gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which saves people. This is the greatest threat to the gospel, honestly, we have ever seen in the last 5 years. This is a godless ideology that has been smuggled in as a Trojan horse into our churches, into these Christian organizations. And unfortunately, nothing seems to be stopping it. It's through the majority of churches. I hope it's not happening at your church. I hope it's not happening with your pastor. But if it is, it needs to be addressed. It needs to be confronted. And if the pastor and the church or the denomination or the seminary won't change, you are now obligated to leave that church. Because that is not a biblical practice. Social justice, the social gospel, has nothing to do with the Bible. This is the fight we're in, guys. Be aware of what's happening and take your stand against it.